So, as an introduction to this afternoon, I'd like to say that one of the ways to speak about the purpose of Buddhist practice is to help free us from all the ways in which the mind gets entangled, gets caught, the ways in which the mind gets clamped down, gets constricted, confined, the ways in which the mind gets hard, tight, resistant, the way in which you get entangled, caught by our thoughts, by our feelings, by the events of the world. And the idea is to get uncaught, to have the mind, so that the mind, at least the mind, the awareness is not caught in some kind of relationship where it's kind of compulsive. We're not in charge. We're not free. We're being driven around. We're being influenced by things that we don't want to be influenced by attachments, clinging, cravings, aversions, things like that. So, given that, and say it very simply, the idea is to help free us from clinging. That's the shorthand for all. And so then the question is, what is it that prompts us to cling? What are the conditions that bring us to cling? And there's a variety of things. You can study it from different points of view. But one of the, I think, for me, when I discovered this, I think for many people, quite remarkable discoveries, is how much the very simple experience of pleasant and unpleasantness, pleasant and unpleasantness conditions the clinging or the aversion, the tightening up. That if something is pleasant, there's often a very simple desire for it, to have it, to want it, to keep it. If something is unpleasant, there's a reaction to that, and the reaction to that is often pull away or push it away or resist or something. And it might seem that our cherished clingings should have a more sophisticated beginning than simply the amoeba-like going towards or going away from things. But many, many things have their genesis in this very simple movement, going towards pleasure, in a sense, and away from what's uncomfortable. And so because our reaction, our response to the pleasant and unpleasant experiences of life are so basic, so fundamental to it all, a very important part of mindfulness practice is to start seeing how this occurs, how this works. To see how the experience of pleasant and unpleasant triggers, prompts us to cling, to grasp, to resist, to do what we're doing. And sometimes, elaborate political theory, political philosophy, or personal philosophies that have tremendous rationalization of why something is necessary. If you trace it back to its origins, it was someone who felt uncomfortable and wanted to stop something from happening. And it gets, push something away. So if you feel uncomfortable about having, neighbors who have a swimming pool, then it's possible to come up with a whole political philosophy of why we need to conserve water and not have swimming pools. It's an affront to the environment. And maybe it is, but the genesis of the motivation was the fact that it was unpleasant to hear those kids yelling next door in the pool on Saturday. And it was just unpleasant. But if the person instead had developing this whole kind of strategy, political strategy of marshaling the neighbor and the city hall and everyone to deal with pools, the person instead had turned around and learned how not to get caught by unpleasantness, then it could have been a solution much closer at home than trying to fix the world out there. So the pleasant and unpleasant nature of our experience is called in Pali vedana. Vedana, and it's usually translated into English as feeling, but because the English word feeling also means emotion, it's kind of confusing for people. So some people prefer the word feeling tone, or as I said earlier, hedonic tone. Simply, is it pleasant or unpleasant? Is it nice or not nice? And So they say there's basically three general categories of feeling tone. There's pleasant, unpleasant, and that which is neither pleasant nor unpleasant. They're sometimes called neutral. So pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. And it's also said that all our experiences fit into one of these three categories. And so no matter what it is, you can kind of, you know, that was pleasant, or no, that was unpleasant. That was neither pleasant nor unpleasant, kind of neutral experience. But kind of, and sometimes if you tune into that side, that part of an experience, you actually tune into that part upon which you're reacting. You might be reacting to an idea, the idea is unpleasant. You might be reacting to a sensation which is unpleasant or pleasant. You might, but it's often that part of, you know, to some degree, that part of the equation is often what has a big impact on us and what we do. So the direction to pay attention to the feeling tone of our experience is a way of helping us become free from that entanglement, the whole point of Buddhism, to find that place of little bit independence so that the mind, our hearts, our being, our presence is somehow independent from the conditions of the world, whether they're pleasant or unpleasant. It's very important for people who are doing Buddhist practice to practice with unpleasant experiences. And that's unpleasant to do. It's very important because if you want to be free, and you're only free when things are pleasant, you're not really free. You have to learn how to be able to handle all of it. And some people take it as a personal affront that somehow that things are uncomfortable. It shouldn't be. Especially a spiritual circle. Spirituality is about bliss and light and all these great things. And so what's this? What am I doing having painful knees? This shouldn't be. But so it's very important to actually learn, be willing to practice with discomfort. Not for its own sake, not because we're doing some kind of austerities, but because we're trying to discover that place where we're not caught, we're not entangled, we're not being influenced by it excessively. The word, the Pali word vedana, excuse me, is a little bit of an ambiguous word because it also means, comes from the word to know, or to feel. And so both to know and to feel. And I think the English word witness comes from the same Indo-European back, you know, root, witness.
Is the word vedana?
Vedana, V-E-D-A-N-A. And this ambiguity between feeling and knowing points to a little ambiguity in the nature and understanding of feeling tone in Buddhism. And that is that feeling tone, the pleasant, unpleasant experience, does not only exist because it's inherent in experience, but also has a subjective quality to it. Subjective evaluation, a subjective projection, subjective something, including a subjective liking and disliking. And so there's not a sharp line, I believe, between, you know, where something that's pleasant or unpleasant in and of itself ends and where liking and disliking begin, or where some evaluation of the situation comes in as well. So we don't only want to believe that the vedana, the feeling tone, is something that's objective in the experience. There's a subjective aspect of it to it as well sometimes. So chalk across the chalkboard might be inherently unpleasant. Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, I thought coffee was inherently unpleasant. I no longer think that. Now, why is that? Some things are acquired taste. You know, things change and shift over time, and there's plenty of things people do that are unpleasant. More in and of themselves, but there's a kind of associations with them. And when I was younger also, I thought beer was awful. And at some point when I got to be a young adult, I learned to like beer. The beer didn't change. So there was some subjective aspect activity going on there with it all. So this is such an important area, the feeling tone area, that it has a whole tetrad of itself in these 16 steps of mindfulness of breathing. And I would venture to say that if you only, you know, this is, again, could be almost like maybe a complete area of practice in and of itself, these four. You could be aware of the feeling tone, because so much of our way which we react to the world, live in the world, are free of the world, can be seen or discovered through the feeling tone. So again, this is a whole universe in itself. You can go into this particular tetrad and spend a long time there and find it very, very beneficial, very freeing to do that. Does that make sense? And because pleasant and unpleasantness are such simple concepts, or simple experiences, they... learning to pay attention to it and seeing how we relate to it and build ourselves from it can cut through a lot of the more complicated aspects of any given event. So, for example, with a pool thing, I mean, a person might go spend a lot of time reflecting and thinking and discussing the nature of pools and where the problem is and their own history with pools and their parents' history with pools and their grandparents' history with pools, and try to understand all the different complicated pieces that might have some relationship to pools. Or the person can cut through it all and just be aware, that's unpleasant to have all those kids screaming in the pool next door. Just unpleasant, unpleasant. So I'm trying to get across the idea that the feeling tone can simplify the investigation of what's happening, can lead us directly, much more directly sometimes, to the possibility of letting go, where the letting go can happen, than taking on the experience in some bigger, more complicated way.